You already know he putting in work. It's the one and only,
the Flatbush Kingpin, DJ Rampage.
Live on the ones and twos.
DJ Rampage.
At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me. One, two, three. Hit me with the horn, 20. And some of y'all won't, but listen, let me clear my throat. Oh, have mercy, babe. Ha, I hope you don't mind. Let me clear my throat. Special dedication going out to everybody here in Bahama Bay, in Philadelphia. Here we go now, check it out. To the rhythm of the funky vibe, so I can get busy just one more time. To the beat and you don't quit. It's that old school rap with that new school hit. Be the pipe and pick the pimp up, but cool rap the rhyme, and I can still rip up the house. Every day my time I get on the mic, they'll go crazy. Peace out to CeeLo Flex and Doug Lazy. I bet you never knew, but now you know I'm the undisputed king of this disco. And I never let the mic magnetize me no more, cause DJ Cool rip up the whole damn flow. Now I'ma rock around with the greatest of these, and swing like a man on the fried trapeze. And if you don't like it, you grab on these. And now I need some help for the right show.
Back on the Rubicon with Janelle King and James Lewis, Healthcare for the Culture. Here's XM Channel 141. So far, how are you enjoying the show? I know that working with me is not always the easiest thing to do.
Well, you have quite the strong personality, but, you know, I know you long enough, James. Right. I know exactly how to work with you so that we get the best for the listening audience.
So you're pouring into me.
Of course.
You're guiding me. If you're listening, so the way the other show, the Last Day Radio Network, is mostly monologuing.
Yeah.
For 3 days a week. So we're on an hour 3 days a week, and it's mostly my monologues. I don't have a lot of guests. We might have a hip hop artist. I got a shout out brother Tom Sose from Griselda Records. He came on and had a dope interview. So if I can find somebody I really want to talk to that's compelling, that I listen to, we'll have them on the show, or an athlete or someone, you know, one of the people in my crew, like if it's Jonesy or somebody that's been rocking with us. I'm actually going to link up with Sharita.
Oh, really?
Rita B is going to do some segments. I got to get up to Cleveland and see the fam up there. So I'm going to link up with Sharita. So that'd be great. Sharita hasn't been. Sharita used to co-host, I think, up to, it was maybe 2017.
Okay.
So it's been like eight years.
Yeah.
So that I'm looking forward to that. But that's mostly my voice. I decided this show is focused on me curating. It's to have talented people on. Like there is no one person that can have a monologue healthcare show that really supports the culture.
Right.
You've got to have men, you gotta have women, you gotta have people from the LGBT community, you gotta
different perspectives.
Different perspectives, married people, single people. And you just have to have a robust type of discussion. So Janelle is the star. I just wanna make that. Janelle is the star of the Rubicon. I'm only here to facilitate. But you brought up something in the last segment, which is kind of getting under my skin a little bit. But I've had this discussion, and being that I'm not on the healthcare executive side running health plans anymore, and really more in the consulting space. And, you know, working with healthcare leaders, I had to learn. I told you, I've made every mistake that you can make as a healthcare leader. So I don't claim to be perfect. I made a mistake to think that it was about me.
Right.
I had an arrogant spirit. I was a healthcare leader early in my career. So it's kind of, I don't want to say prodigy, but I was there earlier. Yeah. I was the only black guy in the room. I was only 36 years old and kind of full of myself.
Right.
And being the smartest person in the room is not what leadership is.
Definitely not.
And so I succeeded with metrics, like you said, the budget. I succeeded. All of my budgets were always 8 to 12% under budget.
Right.
And we always delivered more money than was expected.
Mm-hmm.
So the suits loved me.
Yes,
but my people did not like me.
No.
I did not treat them. I didn't bully them. I didn't condescend to them, or at least not purposefully.
Right.
I kind of carried myself like I was above it all.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a robot. You do your job.
I'll do mine.
And I'll do mine. And don't speak to me. And don't come to me for any counsel or expect me to have any feelings or emotions or emotional intelligence.
Right.
I had a person that came, as a story. I had a person that came in my office. They were going through something really bad with their family.
Mm-hmm.
They had a loved one that was struggling with drug addiction.
Okay.
And they needed to take some time off. And so I'm just like, hey, I feel you. Take some time off.
Yeah.
But this person wanted me to empathize with them, and they got a little too close for a hug. And, you know, I'm just kind of like,
shied away.
You know, just like, I need an adult. Like, go in your car and cry it out. Like, don't expect me to care about you as a person. Like, I, you know, as a employer, I don't want you here if you're crying in your office. Go home, do what you got to do.
Oh, my goodness.
But don't expect me to care about that. Like, you come back in a week when you're ready to go to work. You don't have to take any PTO. I thought I was a great boss for doing that, but the person wanted empathy.
Yeah.
They wanted sympathy and empathy. They got absolutely none of that from me. So I say that as a circuitous route. I learned over the years that you are right. Healthcare executives and leaders, they have to listen to the clinical arm. We get so focused on budget. We get so focused on, you know, how to keep the trains running.
Yeah.
And we lose sight of members at times.
Yeah.
We lose sight of people. We lose sight of our clinical nurses. So I'm actually agreeing with what you said.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Well, I guess I do understand. But at the end of the day, we're both looking for the same thing, which is good patient outcomes, right? And so I would think it would behoove you to listen to the people that are closest to those patients, that see those patients in and out every day. So, and perhaps, you know,
we're not always looking for good patient outcomes, though. And you know that. You've been around.
Well, we should. I guess that's the nurse in the public health specialty.
We're looking for good patient outcomes in zip codes that fund good patient outcomes.
Very, so very true.
I think
very true.
My welcome to being an executive, and I won't say where I was because, you know, I don't want to get sued, but I remember going to the board of directors and saying that, hey, I've identified 5 zip codes where we need to build a clinic.
Right.
Or, you know, lease some land and put a clinic there. They were all zip codes in black and brown communities.
Right.
These were not, I'm not familiar with Atlanta, but it's not Buckhead. You know, this is East Point,
right.
Places like that. And someone patted me on the back and they said, well, James, we'll take a look into that. But someone pulled me behind the scenes and just kind of like, yeah, you probably don't want to push for that because we're not going to build. It would cost $5 million to invest in these communities. And my job is ultimately to make sure that these communities are served.
Right.
But you have to go through a board of directors. If you're at a large, you know, some of the larger payers.
Yeah.
You got to go through shareholders and stockholders.
Right.
Well, that makes it a completely different game. I've always worked on the nonprofit side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's difficult. But you don't have to go through shareholders. When you're at a company, if the stock price goes down from 80 to 62,
right,
that's going to change all of the modeling and the rubrics.
And I mean, I see it from a different perspective. I mean, I personally believe you cannot get the expected patient outcomes if you're not taking care of the least of us, right? If you're not taking care of the people that need it the most, how are we then expecting to get these great patient outcomes? You have to take care of those members who need the most help, in my personal belief, which will then serve everybody else. So,
but you said something. You said that you shouldn't be able to run a health system unless you're a clinician. That's where I got to push back from you.
I mean, unless you're not a clinician,
how would you run it from a finance perspective? Because you don't have a background in finance. So you would be giving everybody MRI testing out the wazoo, and then we'd be out of business. So there has to be some type of
There has to be some sort of balance. But I think it's important for any CEO level to have somebody who's actually like a clinician, who's been on the floor, who understands, so they can speak from the provider side. They can speak to like direct patient care so that we can try to get the best outcomes. Isn't that, I personally,
what about your chief nursing officer though?
A lot of these nursing officers, yeah, they're usually somebody who's right. come up the ranks, but in terms of
most of them haven't been on the floor like
in a long time. So there's that new, I guess there's a new argument going around, like people who, you know, hold these licenses need to be on the floor, right? So they understand what it was back in like 2009 is not the current climate on the floor. So perhaps we need to get those people on the floor so they kind of understand what's going on, the reality of what's going, the new version of healthcare these days.
What would you say really, in your experience, what has resonated with you as far as leaders that you've come across? Like, what are some of the qualities? I get this DM all the time.
Yeah.
You get a lot of DMs. People hit me up on LinkedIn. A lot of people hit me up and say, hey, James, I need a job. Do you know anybody that knows anybody?
Right.
But people share their stories of good leadership, bad leadership. What are some of the qualities that you've looked for and things that resonated with you throughout your career and said, wow, this was a phenomenal leader? And then on the other side, hey, this person was not so great.
Yeah, so for me, it's always been that what I like about the leaders that I've had, the great ones, are the people that are going to be in the trenches with you. As a nurse, you don't want that nurse manager who's telling you to do something but is never going to be on the floor with you helping you to do that, right? Or don't understand how to do that. And so for me, somebody who's going to show and prove, that to me is a great leader. Somebody who is kind of removed, like you mentioned, like you were very removed and not in touch with
your employees. I was a terrible leader.
In touch with your employees. That doesn't resonate well with me.
And I didn't want to be a terrible leader. So it's not, some people, I work with people that are just bullies.
Yeah.
And they like bullying people and they get off on it.
Yeah.
And they want to treat people like trash. I didn't want to treat people bad. Yeah. I just didn't have a lot of emotional intelligence. I'm an only child. You know, I wasn't married then.
Yeah.
You know, it was about me.
Yeah.
But you realize after 4 or 5 years working with people, they're like, yeah, everybody's getting paid, but I don't want to work for you.
Yeah.
Because I want a leader that's actually going to pour into me, that's going to have my back, that's going to teach me something.
That's
going to be
grow.
Out in the front. You know, you see the meme on LinkedIn is there's the boss and the team is out in front and they have a whip whipping the rest of the team. And then there's a leader where the team is behind and they're pulling the rope.
Pulling,
they're pulling the team forward. I was just curious because I'm looking at it from a executive perspective. But how does that translate to the floor? Because like I told you, I won't go on the floor because there are germs there. So I'm out.
I do. I've had great bosses or nurse leaders with emotional intelligence. So I think that's why we got along. They understood me from an employee perspective, but they also got that I'm also a regular person and have a life. And sometimes I have a kid who gets sick and they're telling me to go home, take care of your kid. Well, I will finish the shift for you. And I've had those leaders who, you know, were kind of bullies and they didn't want to see me excel and, you know, tried to prevent me from growing and took away opportunities to grow or to continue my education or my career pursuits just because they didn't want that. They didn't want that for me because they weren't able to achieve that.
The Rubicon in 3, 2, 1.
Paragon.
Turn at the all-new Dave & Buster's with never-before-seen games like Hot Wheels Victory Lap. Brand new menu items, including turbocharged chicken fighters. And a nationwide race with players across the country. Zoom up the new leaderboard and race toward exclusive prizes before they race off without you. So rev those engines and win on all cylinders at the all-new Dave & Buster's.
We begin searching for ways to not only feed, not only bridge the access to food, but how can we fight disease? Quite naturally, it was a must that we figure out how to get fresh produce, crisp greens, leafy greens, and fruits and herbs and vegetables directly to the front door of those families that needed it the most. And so we finally come out with a solution, and we call that Full Cart Fresh. We have teamed up with some of the greatest people in America, our American farmers. And through working with a collaborative of farmers across multiple states, we have created Full Cart Fresh. So imagine this, you're at a farm, the produce is picked and prepared, and it's boxed in a Full Cart Fresh box at the farm. And then through our shipping and logistics program, we ship directly from the farm, directly to the front door of the most vulnerable families in America. We have got families and seniors and children around the country who are hungry, and as well as hungry, are really managing and coping with serious illnesses and diseases. So come along, help us. Help Feeding Children Everywhere through our Full Cart program and the launch of our new Full Cart Fresh. Help those families in need.